May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, that is amazing scripture that Deacon Ron just read. It seems like and this is not what I was prepared to do today, but it just reminded me of something I deal with constantly, and that is, especially in marriages, when you have one person who seems to be going hard after the Lord and another person who really isn't. They're kind of casual or loping along. And I've watched this happen, and the person sort of just keeps waiting because they want to do this with their mate. They want to go for this with their mate, and they just keep waiting, and sometimes for years, and the result of it, they're just so left behind. It's not about a wife being rebellious. I mean, in many of those situations, when it's the wife who's going harder, husband doesn't really care. She just doesn't want to go without him. But you know what? Once you turn and you're starting to walk with the Lord, you can't turn back. You've got to go after him. He's got to be the priority of your life, not your husband or your wife. And without being rebellious or losing your sense of commitment, Jesus called you. We have personal relationships with Jesus. And the best thing you could do for your husband or your wife is to go for it with all your heart. And the lure of a consecrated life will change everything. You win them with love, the love of Jesus. And so I just encourage, if you know of anybody, you're in that situation, don't be deceived by the devil into thinking, if you'll just hold back and you'll just wait. Now what'll happen is if you wait, you'll miss out. You got to go for it. This is from in Acts chapter 27, the manual, Normal Christianity. Paul is on his way, and Luke is with him, as just going as an attendant, but Paul, as a prisoner, is on his way to Rome. And he's already swapped ships once, and the whole time on his trip to Rome, it's this horrible weather, and finally he gets on this ship, and there's like 260 people on the ship, something like that. And this is Acts chapter 27, verse 10. It says, men, Paul's now speaking to all the people on the ship. He said, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be attended with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. So that's obviously a word that God gave him, and he shares this with the whole ship. And there's things that go on, talks about the storm and how bad the storm is. And finally, we get to this place, and he said, in verse 21, and when they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up in the midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this great damage and loss, because Paul told them to stay in port, and they went out anyway. And yet I know, I urge you to keep up your courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you. But didn't he just tell them a word from the Lord that there was going to be not just ship and not just cargo, but all their lives also? But only of the ship, for this very night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand before Caesar. Because you see, God had given him a word, a couple of places really, but this is chapter 23, verse 11. But the knight immediately following the Lord stood at my side and said, take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also. So Paul had that word, that loss of lives, but he was going to go to Rome. But this angel says to him, do not be afraid. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. And therefore, Paul said to them, take courage, men, for I believe that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. What happened? You hear people say that prayer changes things, prayer doesn't change things. Prayer does change things. How does that fit in God being perfect and sovereign? And I don't know. And I'm really okay with that. I don't know. I just know things move his heart, and it's not a contradiction. God had decreed, told Paul, the ship, the cargo, the people are all going to die. But the angel said, but God has granted you. What does that mean? If somebody grants you something, that means you've wanted it. You've asked for it. So evidently, between that first decree and the second one, that happened with Moses several times in the Old Testament. Paul's asking the Lord for the lives of these men. That's amazing to me. You know, these are Romans, these were pagans, but yet Paul's heart was for these men. He asked God for these men, and the Lord says, it's been granted you. And then Paul says, nothing's going to happen to you. And this is the word he used, for I believe. That's the important part. God can speak all the things in the world he wants to. But it says in Hebrews chapter 4 that if God speaks a word, he uses the word good news, and yet you don't believe it, if you don't add faith to what you hear, it has no profit. There's a lot of things, thousands of things, probably millions of things God has spoken. But people have not believed him, and therefore they still stand unfulfilled. I believe that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. He didn't say, as I've told you. He says, as I've been told. In Mark chapter 4, by the time Mark chapter 4 came around, these guys had seen lots of miracles, many miracles. Jesus did amazing things. In Mark chapter 3, he chose the 12. And it says about them, and he appointed 12 that they may be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have them to have authority to cast out demons. And so he was already not just showing them things, but using them, releasing them in his name. He gave them the authority. They didn't have any. He gave it to them. So they're in this boat. Jesus says, let's go to the other side in verse 35 of Mark 4. And he says, let's go to the other side, and leaving the multitude, they took him along with them just as he was in the boat. Other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat. The boat was about to fill up, and he himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the storm, hush, be still. The wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith? You see, Jesus had said, we're going to go to the other side. And yeah, so Jesus was asleep. He wasn't worried about sinking. God had already spoken to him, the Father. He had decreed it. They heard it. The parable just before that, it's the seed of the sower. Hear a word, believe the word. Hear a word, believe the word. Hear a word, believe the word. They heard the word, didn't believe the word. Woke him up from his nap. He rebukes the storm and looks at them and said, why didn't you take care of it? Why are you so timid? Why didn't you exercise faith in my name? You already had the word. Why didn't you say, storm, be still? Paul's prayers influenced God's heart. And all those men's lives were saved. All those men, their lives were saved. Jesus said to these disciples, exercise your faith. Why are you so timid? I think there's something God wants to teach us about the humility of faith, because it's not our authority. It's not our ability. Paul said, I believe exactly what I've been told. Jesus believed exactly what he had been told. And he was saying to the disciples in that boat, why didn't you believe exactly what you've been told? We're going to the other side. You tell the storm to stop in my name. Every one of you here, if you're born again, you carry with you every day more power and more authority than any president, any king, any dignitary who's ever lived and who's existing now on the face of the earth. There's not a person in a position of power in this city that carries the authority and influence and power that you carry as a disciple of Christ. We're called to be overcomers, not victims. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.